Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to In Real Life with Evan Halperin. Some interesting news from yesterday, July 24th, is that Joe Biden might be alive. It was the first time he was seen speaking since he dropped out of the presidential race just over a week ago. He did that with a tweet, and he has been yet to be seen talking in front of people. And yesterday he released a press conference. However, it wasn't a press conference in front of reporters, as you or I might have imagined, but instead it was a press conference from alone in the Oval Office in front of a teleprompter. So he probably is alive, jury still has yet to come back. However, I do want to go over this press conference. He addresses his decision to step out from the presidential race, and he goes over a bunch of other semi-interesting things. So I'm gonna play the press conference and just stop periodically and relay my thoughts. It's just over 11 minutes.
My fellow Americans, I'm speaking to you tonight from behind the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office. In this sacred space, I'm surrounded by portraits of extraordinary American presidents. Thomas Jefferson.
He's slurring, he slurs his words a lot, and it doesn't really get much better from here.
Wrote the immortal words that guide this nation. George Washington, who showed us presidents are not kings. Abraham Lincoln, implored us to reject malice. Franklin Roosevelt, who inspired us to reject fear. I revere this.
And Joe Biden, who showed us that you can lie and cheat your way into power, and you don't even need full cognitive powers to do it. It's a lot easier than you or I might think.
Office, but I love my country more. It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president. But in the defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think.
So, how is democracy at stake? In what way is democracy at stake? So this is something that you should be used to by now, and it's something that the Democrats are great at doing. This is one of the few things that Democrats are actually good at doing, and it's making claims. Now, it's either claims that sound great, if it's something that they're promising to do, free health care, stopping world hunger, going against climate change, global warming, as they started calling it, or it's claims that sound scary if it's something that they don't like, such as this. But how is democracy at stake? You notice they never are able to give any details. They can't do it with this claim, they can't do it with any of their policies, they can't do it ever. Because when you actually drill down into what they're saying, when you get into the nitty-gritty, when you look at the details, they're just empty words. They're empty words. They have great major ideas and they have no way to get them done, or they, in this case, just say things that sound scary, but they don't actually mean anything.
More important than any title. I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people. But this sacred task of perfecting our union, it's not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about.
Most people's futures are much worse off now than they were 4 years ago. It's because of Biden, mainly. It's because of his failed policies. It's because of his weakness. The future certainly isn't looking brighter than it was 4 years ago.
But we, the people. We can never forget that. And I never have.
It's kind of ironic that he talks about forgetting things with the dementia that he has. It's very probable that he actually has forgotten that and that he's just reading it off of a teleprompter. It's kind of a funny point there.
I've made it clear that I believe America's at an inflection point. One of those rare moments in history. When the decisions we make now determine our fate of our nation and the world for decades to come.
This is another, word or string of words that doesn't mean anything, right? Every time you make a decision, it's an inflection point, because an inflection point just means a turning point. And every year, or every election year, I should say, both sides, the left and the right, say, this is the most important election of our lifetimes. It's very rarely true. It's very probably not true in this case. It's important. It's just as important as every other election. But there's no real reason why this one is more important than all the other ones.
America's going to have to choose between moving forward or backward, between hope and hate, between unity and division. We have to decide, do we still believe in honesty, decency, respect?
So again, just notice here, no details, just words that sound good versus words that don't. Unity and division, and hope and hate goes back to what I was speaking of yesterday, of lies of insinuation, where you're insinuating that one side, your side, is hopeful and good and unified and blah, 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 and the other side is hateful and will divide, and it's all lies.
Freedom, justice, and democracy. In this moment, we can see those we disagree with not as enemies, but as fellow Americans. Can we do that?
Well, he's the one that calls his enemies and people that disagree with him threats to democracy. So, him asking that question of, can we do that? Can we? Really should be asking himself that. And then he goes on and continues to call Trump and those that support Trump threats to democracy. So, to answer his own question, no, he can't do that.
Character and public life still matter. I believe I know the answer to these questions because I know you, the American people. And I know this, we are a great nation because we are good people. When you elect me...
Right, that's really not why we're a great nation. We're a great nation because we are strong, and part of it has to do with our founding documents, how our government is built. It's really very possible to be a great nation full of horrible people and led by horrible people. Germany, Nazi Germany under Hitler... That was absolutely a great nation in terms of great meaning powerful and strong, but was led obviously by a murderous maniac, a bigot, and the majority of the people in the country at that time were bigots and maniacs. The notion that the reason we are a great nation is because we have good people is untrue. Those two things are true separately, but one has very little to do with the other.
In this office, I promise to always level with you, to tell you the truth. The truth, the sacred cause of this country, is larger than any one of us. And those of us who cherish that cause, cherish it so much, a cause of American democracy itself, must unite to protect it. You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world.
A record as president of horrible economic policy and leadership throughout the world that is non-existent.
My vision for America's future all merited a second term.
So if this was true, if he truly believed that his record and his leadership and everything else that he has been able to achieve as president, which we, you and I, know is nothing, but if he truly believes that, there would be zero reason to not continue running for president again for a second term. Because if he actually believed that and he actually cared about the American people, then there would be no realm of reality in which any amount of pressure forces him to drop out of the race, because he believes he did a good job. It doesn't matter what anybody else would say, he believes he did a good job. So that either means that he doesn't actually believe he did a good job, or that more likely, I think, he was forced out of the race because he's not actually in control of the presidency or really of his own actions.
Nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. It's the best way to unite our nation. You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. But there's also a time and a place for new voices, fresh voices, yes, younger voices. And that time and place is now. Over the next 6 months, I'll be focused on doing my job as president.
I'm not quite sure why he wasn't focused on doing his job as president before. He obviously wasn't. But I guess it's better that he starts now than just not doing it at all.
That means I'll continue to lower costs for hardworking families.
By continue to lower costs, I hope he means he's going to start to lower costs. Because costs have gone up by a very large amount under him. But I guess it's a thought that counts.
Grow our economy. I'll keep defending our personal freedoms and our civil rights. From the right to vote to the right to choose.
Right. Yeah, these are more empty words without details or context. No one is trying to take away the right to vote. It's not at all what voter ID is trying to do, or it's not even possible through voter ID. Now, don't get me wrong. There should be much less people voting than there are currently, but voter ID is not the way to do that, and it doesn't try to do that. And then the right to choose, obviously, he's talking about abortion. You have many choices. You can choose to have safe sex. You can choose to put the child up for adoption. You can choose to keep the child. You just can't choose to murder it. Don't think that's that hard of a concept.
I'll keep calling out hate and extremism. Make it clear there is no place in America for political violence or any violence ever, period. I'm going to keep speaking out to protect our kids from gun violence, our planet from climate crisis is the existential threat. And I will keep fighting for my cancer moonshot. So we can end cancer as we know it, because we can do it.
This is less of a political point and more of just me being somewhat of a cynic. But there's a very low probability that we find a cure for cancer anytime soon or really ever. There are certain diseases that there just are not cures for. Cancer is very probably one of them. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to find a cure for cancer. We probably won't.
I'm going to call for Supreme Court reform because this is critical to our democracy, Supreme Court reform.
Right. So the executive branch changing the way that the Supreme Court works and is constructed because it dislikes the decisions that it has put out is critical to our democracy. Right. That sounds stupid because it is. It's exactly the opposite of what the framers wanted. They wanted the executive branch to have almost no power over the Supreme Court. The same with the other way around. The Supreme Court has almost no power over the executive branch. This is the separation of powers doctrine. Just because you don't like what's coming out of the Supreme Court doesn't mean that you just get to change it. That is more of a threat to democracy than anything they can point to that Trump has been doing.
You know, I will keep working to ensure America remains strong, secure, and the leader of the free world.
That sounds great, but he's been actively working against that for his entire term, with keeping the border open, with his foreign policy, and it's just lies.
I'm the first president in this century to report to the American people that the United States is not at war anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's not true. It is true that we're not technically currently at war anywhere else in the world. However, that was also true under Trump, which he made the claim he's the only president this century. So not only was that also true under Trump, but there were also less American-backed conflicts under Trump. So overall, the world was a safer place under Trump.
will keep rallying a coalition of proud nations to stop Putin from taking over Ukraine.
This is the same Putin who only invaded when Biden got elected and wouldn't invade when Trump was in office.
Doing more damage. We'll keep NATO stronger, and I'll make it more powerful and more united than any time in all of our history. I'll keep doing the same for allies in the Pacific. You know, when I came to office, the conventional wisdom was that China would inevitably surpass the United States.
Yeah, he doesn't quantify that as what they're surpassing the United States in. Part of the reason is because it's just not true. When he came in office, it wasn't like general knowledge that China was going to pass the United States in anything, because it just wasn't true, because we were so strong under Trump.
That's not the case anymore.
And actually, it's much more likely now that China surpasses us, both in military power and economic power. This is because of manufacturing jobs going there and a whole other number of factors. And part of that being we kind of stopped focusing on China because we have to focus on Russia invading Ukraine. And Biden's not doing a good job of handling both at the same time.
And I'm going to keep working to end the war in Gaza, bring home all the hostages, and bring peace and security to the Middle East and end this war.
Sounds extremely familiar to the situation we had under Trump with the Abraham Accords, something that Biden went back on and ruined, as with everything else he touches.
We're also working around the clock to bring home Americans being unjustly detained all around the world. You know,
by that he means we are sending the monger of war, something like that, to Russia. I forget exactly what his nickname was, for Brittany Griner instead of the Navy SEAL. The Navy SEAL who did nothing wrong, and Brittany Griner who was found to have broken one of Russia's laws of having weed on her, having cannabis. And that was a law in America at the time as well. So instead of bringing back someone that served our country and is honorable, bring back a women's basketball player who broke the law that would have been a law here as well. She had CBD on her.
Come so far since my inauguration. On that day, I told you, as I stood in a winter of peril and a winter of possibilities. Peril and possibilities. We were in the grip of the worst pandemic in the century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack.
He used the Great Depression instead of the housing crisis of 2008. The reason for that is obvious. It's because he was in office in 2008.
On our democracy since the Civil War. We came together as Americans. We got through it.
Yeah, in reality, we were actually unable to actually come together as Americans because people like him, people like Gavin Newsom, people like Phil Murray required citizens to stay in their houses largely with unconstitutional mandates. And so for this reason, we were actually unable to come together as Americans, and we were separated.
We emerged stronger, more prosperous, and more secure.
It's possible that individually we emerged stronger, but definitely not more prosperous in any way. And, not more secure.
We have the strongest economy in the world, creating nearly 16 million new jobs, a record.
So we have a nation currently economically built on inflation that teetering on the balance. It's very possible it falls very quickly. And the jobs that he claims, obviously, were actually Trump's jobs, the jobs that Trump created, and they were bounce-back jobs because of the pandemic. I get tired of everybody on the left claiming that they created those jobs. I get tired of having to refute that. Why do they not get tired of having to lie about it?
Wages are up. Inflation continues to come down.
Actually, under Biden, inflation has increased 3% more than wages. That's just a lie.
The racial wealth gap is the lowest it's been in 20 years.
Yeah, that's also a lie, that the racial wage gap is lower than it's been in any amount of years, because it actually increased over $50,000 under Biden. So, in fact, the complete opposite is true. Does he think no one's gonna fact check him on this shit? Like, I can sit here and say I'm black, and that's just as appalling and obviously untrue as every single claim he's made.
We're literally rebuilding our entire nation, urban, suburban, rural, tribal communities. Manufacturers, come back to America.
Again with this shit! Yeah, no, there's been a 20% decrease in the manufacturing sector under Biden in America. That's, again, just an outright lie.
We're leading the world again in chips and science and innovation. We finally beat Big Pharma after all these years to lower the cost of prescription drugs for seniors.
Right, so that was something that Trump did, that Biden then reversed, and then kind of put back. It's still not as good as it was under Trump, but it's closer than it was when Biden, in his first couple of days with the executive action, just completely removed it.
And I'm going to keep fighting to make sure we lower the cost for everyone, not just seniors. More people have health care today in America than ever before. And I signed one of the most significant laws helping millions of veterans and their families who are exposed to toxic materials. You know, most significant climate law ever, ever in the history of the world. The first major gun safety law in 30 years.
He did sign one of the first major gun safety laws in 30 years, and what do you know? Gun violence didn't decrease. So, I mean, yeah, he signed it. It was completely ineffective, but he did pass it.
Today, violent crime rate is at a 50-year low.
So that's only true if you take the reports that specifically don't count major cities, such as Los Angeles, such as Chicago, such as New York. That's actually a thing that these reports did. They just, like, didn't count major cities. So if you don't count those, right, then yes, there is a low in crime. However, if you actually count, like, America, like all of it, not just the places you want to count, if you count the entirety of it, no, crime is up pretty significantly.
We're also securing our border. Border crossings are lower today than when the previous administration left office.
It's just another bold-faced lie, not even close to true. There's actually no way that you can even spin that to be true. And Trump showed the graph. That was the graph he was showing just before he was shot, and then he showed it again at the RNC. I encourage you to go look at it. Yeah, no, it's not even close. The border crossings are still much higher than they ever were under Trump.
I've kept my commitment to appoint the first black woman to the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
He did appoint the first black woman ever to the United States Supreme Court. It would have been great if he could have at least appointed... She could have been black. It would have been great if she would have taken her job seriously. Because Ketanji Brown Jackson very obviously doesn't. That is true, though. That, I will say, props to him. He spoke a full sentence without just completely fabricating something. Still not a good sentence because the judge he appointed... is absolutely horrible at her job and actively tries to be horrible at her job, but he didn't lie. So, I mean, you know, we're getting somewhere. He has 6 more months. Maybe he goes a full press conference without lying. He's never going to do that. That's, yeah, let's move on.
I also kept my commitment to have an administration that looks like America. And be a president for all Americans. That's what I've done.
Not really. There's been almost no way in which he has done that. He's appointed people that are diverse, I guess, but he's also appointed people that are just incompetent, which I really wouldn't call the majority of Americans.
That's what I've done. I ran for president 4 years ago because I believed and still do that the soul of America was at stake. The very nature of who we are was at stake. And that's still the case.
Right, this is another thing that just Democrats will say, the nature of America's at stake. And of course, they will never give you any details. They will never tell you how that's true. They just say it.
America's an idea. An idea stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant.
He's a poet in his spare time, if you didn't know. He's not just the President of the United States. He's also a poet.
It's the most powerful idea in the history of the world. That idea is that we hold these truths to be self-evident. We're all created equal. Endowed by our Creator, certain and inalienable.
He didn't say, you know the thing. He read it properly off the teleprompter this time. This is progress.
Rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We've never fully lived up to it, to this sacred idea, but we've never walked away from it either. And I do not believe the American people will walk away from it now. In just a few months, the American people will choose the course of America's future. I made my choice.
By I made my choice, he means that he decided to drop out of the race. Of course, it wasn't actually him making the choice, but no, that is accurate. The choice was made to hand the nomination of the Democrat nominee over to someone whom not a single vote was cast.
I've made my views known. I'd like to thank our great Vice President Kamala Harris. She's experienced. She's tough. She's capable.
Yeah, I'm not sure what she's capable of. Sleeping her way to positions of power, maybe?
An incredible partner to me and a leader for our country. Now the choice is up to you, the American people. When you make that choice, remember the words of Benjamin Franklin hanging on my wall here in the Oval Office, alongside the busts of Dr. King and Rosa Parks and Cesar Chavez. When Ben Franklin was...
He does have the busts of those people in the Oval Office. That's not a reflection on him. That's a reflection in the Oval Office. Don't really know what point he was trying to make there.
As he emerged from the convention going on.
What he was trying to say is the Constitutional Convention or the Philadelphia Convention. This was the convention where the framers made the Constitution. He's reading off a teleprompter. I'm not sure why he couldn't say that.
Whether the founders have given America a monarchy or a republic, Franklin's response was, a republic, if you can keep it. A republic, if you can keep it. Whether we keep our republic is now in your hands. My fellow Americans, has been the privilege of my life.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So he changed from a democracy earlier to a republic just now, because that's what we are. We are a constitutional democratic republic. Changing that word still doesn't mean that that anything about our government is at stake in this election. It's just he changed the words. It doesn't mean that it's nothing's at stake still, just because we now have a republic in his eyes instead of a democracy. Still doesn't mean that it's at stake. However, it does mean that there are no threats to democracy, because we don't have a democracy. So he can't even keep his own story straight in 11 minutes. This is not good.
To serve this nation for over 50 years. Nowhere else on earth could a kid with a stutter, from modest beginnings in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Claymont, Delaware.
He may have had a stutter when he was a kid. There's really no way to prove or disprove that. But just remember, now he has dementia. It's not a stutter.
One day sit behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office as President of the United States. But here I am. That's what's so special about America. We're a nation of promise and possibilities, of dreamers and doers, of ordinary Americans doing extraordinary things. I've given my heart and my soul to our nation, like so many others. I've been blessed a million times in return with the love and support of the American people. I hope you have some idea how grateful I am to all of you. The great thing about America is here. Kings and dictators do not rule. The people do.
And the people ruling is obviously why the Democrat nomination is currently given to somebody whom not a single vote was cast for. That's like a principle of democracy, right? You get no votes, you win. That's always how a democracy has worked. The last 30 seconds of his press conference are just about spreading unity. It's that by itself is actually not a horrible message. The rest of it, I encourage you to go and just listen to that last 30 seconds. However, there's nothing that is important or that he hasn't yet said. This press conference was jumbled up lies put together because him and his puppet masters think that you, the American people, are stupid. And they think that you can't tell lies from the truth. And that is really, at the core, what the Democrat Party is. It's unfortunate, and it wasn't what it was based on, but today, currently, every time that a Democrat speaks in public, it is shown that that is what the base is. I've shown this in the past. I showed it today. And with many more podcasts coming, I will continue to show it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. Get out of here.